you have your Bibles, turn with me today some familiar verses of Scripture in the book of St. Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. They're familiar because it's what I read last week when I started. We're going to go back and talk about making it to the other side. I think the beginning of 2016, we need to make up our mind. We've been on this side of the creek long enough. I might say, well, that's a lake. Same difference. There are two rivers comes in to the Lake of Gennesaret, or the Sea of Galilee, or the Sea of Tiberias, whichever you want to call it. There's one river goes out the other end. It's called the Jordan. It meanders around for about 200 miles. Now, if you run straight by it, it won't take 200 miles, but all the curves and stuff runs it up that much. And it comes out in a place called the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea is dying, literally. You go over there right now, there is a resort that used to be on the Dead Sea that's now a mile from the water because it's drying up. Because that inlet of the Jordan River is the only water it's got coming to it. And they're getting water out of the Jordan to water plants and animals and so forth like that. And so there's not much water getting down there, and it's literally dying. That's bad, the Dead Sea dies. So technically what you've got is a wide spot in two rivers that we call a lake. And it is pretty big. It's like 2 miles wide and 12 miles long. And it's called the Lake of Gennesaret, the Sea of Galilee, the Sea of Tiberias. You know, I never understood that. I'd be going through Montana, see a thing for a river, and I keep looking for something like the Black Warrior or the Tom Bigby or something, and a little creek out there you can jump. And I'm going, man, they don't know what a river is out here. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. And the same day when evening was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was not now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? He arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Amen. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for your word. We ask, God, you'd reach down and touch, move, and minister to us, Lord, with your grace. Let us, Lord God, to sit in heavenly places with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, last week I began this message, so for those that's not here, I'm going to run through a couple of things. I did the introduction, that's all, so don't worry, I've not got to point one yet. We live in a world where we have problems, troubles, and trials, and I would to God I could tell you that would never happen to you, that you could reach a place where you never have more trouble, no more trials, no more tribulation, but that's not what Scripture said. Scripture said those same things that are accomplished in the world be accomplished among the brethren. It said that even though we live for God, the many are the afflictions of the saints of the Most High God. But what's the one thing we got to hold on to? That our God didn't deliver us out of all these afflictions. Amen. And we need to understand, we go into 2016, there's some things that took place in this story. First of all, we need to know, number one, we have a promise from God. He said, let us go to the other side. Some of y'all need to find out the promise God's made you in your life, and then you quit sweating that small stuff that's going on. Come on, church. If God says I'm going from here to over there, if I'm going from point A to point B, and then I'm going to go from point B to point W, why am I worried about what's going to happen at L, M, N, P, Q, and all them other letters? Because I know I'm going to get to W sooner or later because God made me a promise. And some of us need to realize these guys forgot the promise and they panicked because he said, we're going to the other side. He didn't say we're going to go out in the middle of the lake and drown. He said, let us launch out to the other side. They had a promise and they forgot the promise. Can I tell you that's what's wrong with a lot of people in the church? You don't realize the promise God has gave you for your life, and you don't realize the promise God's for you for the next day in your life. And what you've got to realize is you're all worried about every little thing going on when you ought to focus on the promise and realize my God is able to take me where I need to go. Amen. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't sweat the fire. They didn't even sweat in the fire. Hello? Somebody said, now, preacher, you better read your Bible. They didn't argue. They didn't have to think about it. He said, now, who is the God going to keep you when I throw you in the furnace? They said, our God in whom we believe is going to keep us. And if he don't, we're going anyway, because we got a promise we're going to live after we burn. Hello? Somebody said, preacher, what are you talking about? I don't care what doctors tell me. If I die tomorrow, I'm not going to do and believe this body and go on. My body, I'm not going to quit existing. Some of y'all leave me like, what are you talking about, preacher? Whatever one of y'all to have hanging on to, I have a promise from God of eternal life if I'm living for him. So I'm not worried about what's going to happen today, tomorrow, the next day. I'm just ready to go. Amen. Come on, church. Say, well, preacher, what did I make you do? How many of you was here last Sunday night and saw the movie? When that guy was holding that knife on that woman, she said, I ain't giving you a dime. I command you to put it up in the name of Jesus. What made her do that? She wasn't worried about dying right there in that parking lot. She understood if I die, it's just a portal to eternal life. Got nothing to worry about, so I'm not bowing down to what the devil tells me or anything else because I've got the promise. Glory. But notice this. Not only did they have the promise, they had the presence. The Bible said he got in the boat with them. They took him, put him in the boat. That's the one thing that separates us from the people of this world. I may have to go through the same things they go through. I may have financial problems, physical problems, all kinds of spiritual and social problems, but I've got somebody with me who is there with me 24/7, who is ready to take up every problem I've got and fight my battles for me, and that makes me different from those who don't know him. Could you say amen? You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Notice it said they weren't the only ones left. They were little ships, went with them. Those other ships was in the same storm, but they didn't have him in it. We have the presence of God in our life. And I'm hurrying up because I got to get to point one. Glory. Some of y'all might not want me to get to point one, but it's important I get there. But notice this. They not only had the promise and the presence, they had the power. Some of y'all need to refocus on the fact that you've got a God that you serve that is not subject to anything in this world. Hello? Thank you. Thank you. 1974, the doctors told my mom she had 6 months to live. My mom died 31 years later. She's still cancer-free. Why? Because I got a God that don't care what the doctors say, what the doctors know. He's got the power and the authority at his whim to do anything he wants to do because he's not subject to anything in this world. And we need to get back to believing that, church. When we do, we're going to see great things in God. But we get to thinking we got that little babe wrapped in swaddling clothes or a man hanging on a cross. I serve a God who is highly exalted, whose name is above every name, who has the power, the grace, and the glory to do anything I need done in this world. I need money. He's a provider. Come on, church. I know what it is to be down and out. I've not always been as affluent as I am now. I guess a tickle. I hear some of y'all talking, we was poor, but we didn't know it. We was poor, and I knew it. I didn't have any problem realizing we was poor. You eat biscuits and gravy every night for supper for a month, you know you're poor. Hello? Somebody said, I thought you said you eat deer. What? Deer old gravy on them biscuits. That's why we learned to put stuff in it, like tomatoes and chocolate and stuff like that, to make it different. But I can remember when we lived off of chili. Because that's all we could get enough of to live off of. I'm not going to tell that story again. I done told it, but I got got a God that can send me letters from three parts of this country on the same night, and the amount of money that those letters equal out to is the exact amount of money I got to pay a guy just got through fixing my septic tank. Hello? One from New York, one from South Georgia, and one from Louisiana. They were mailed on the same night, and everyone started, God told me to send you this, and they wrote unusual checks. One 132, one 123, one 400, but it was $685, and that's the exact amount of money I had to have. Hello? And I'm sitting there opening the letters on the porch while he's loading the stuff on the trailer. Because I got a God that said, I own the cattle of 1,000 hills. And just to show you how much faith I had that day, Frida come by and she said, God's going to help us. He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. I said, we need money. You better sell some. I mean, I was sitting there with my knee in the cast stuck up in the air. I couldn't move, couldn't preach. I'd always lived on the premise as long as I preached, God would take care of me. Guess what I found out during 6 months in 1991? That if I'm faithful to him, he'll take care of me anyway. Some of y'all need to wake up and realize God is on your side. And if God's on your side, you don't have to worry about all that. You've got the power of God. Hallelujah. The presence of God and the promise of God. Yes. And if we've got that, we can go to the other side. Amen. Hello? I got to reset this thing so it'll quit going off. Listen, I believe God is making the same statement to us today. It's time for us to move on. It's time for us to go on. We've been hanging on to victories for years. Some of y'all, you can talk about something happened 40 years ago. When's the last time you really had a victory in God? When's the last time you can look at something and say, wait a minute, I know that I know that I know that was God. Hallelujah. Some of you look at me like you never can say that because you've always got some excuse why it happened. But I want to tell you something, church. If you know that you know that you know God was the only way that could have happened, then there ain't a devil or a demon in hell can push you past the faith that God can give you when you say, wait a minute, you may push me to here, but I know that when I got here, God did this for me. And because he was God, God did. He is still God now. Oh, listen, we want to go to the other side. What is the other side? Your prayer life. We need a transformation in the way we pray. Some of y'all don't pray enough to get anything done. You have a transformation in your prayer life, it'll transform your life. A transformation in your study life. Had a young man come up to me one time. He said, Brother Ken, how do I get a better prayer life? I said, start praying. He looked at me disappointed. He thought there was some spiritual thing going to happen, like lightning was going to hit him. And he said, he'd just start praying every day. I said, dude, if you'll start praying, your prayer life will get better. Hello? Young preachers come up all the time. How do I get a better study life? Start studying. There's no spiritual stuff to this. Study to show yourself approved, that you don't have to be ashamed of who you are in Christ. And well, that's preachers. No, it's not. That's everybody. Because whether you like it or not, people are looking at you to see where you are in him. And if they walk up and ask you a question, and I know you're not going to know every answer because they ask me stuff, and I say, I have to look it up, but I'll get back with you. But every once in a while, you run into somebody and say, you know, I'm looking for a scripture. And it just happened to pop in your head. And you look at it and quote it to them, and they go, whoa. How'd you know that? I study. You know, if you studied, you'd know it. Come on, church. Why? Because there's people in the world. Let's face it, church. If we don't love God enough to study his word and pray, how can we expect other people that's not going to church to love God enough to study his word and pray? I don't know if y'all know it or not, but they're trying to get the Bibles now removed from the hotels for fear somebody will read a Bible and get saved. Well, we can't have that in America. That's not politically correct. You can't have a Bible in a desk drawer that nobody has to read unless they want to. Hello? Literally, that's what they want. They want all the Gideon Bibles taken out of all the motels because somebody might read one of them. What are they afraid of? Huh? They can put all the Korans they want to in a book. I won't say nothing about it. I'll sit there and read the thing every once in a while. You know why? Ain't nothing to it. But you let somebody get reading that book of God, and he starts reading in that Bible about a God that came to this world and died for them and gave his love for them, and it's not going to be long till they're going to start wondering, maybe I need to serve him. And I guarantee you, nobody will ever read a Bible through and not know that they know that they know there is a God who loves them. Glory. Ah, come on, church. If we'd do it, it'd change our life. Amen. What are you talking about? How do you fight with something you never arm yourself with? I never understood people go to war without loading a gun. I preached a sermon one time. I think I even preached it here, called Don't Fight Naked. But we got people going to war. Ain't got no armor on. Ain't got no bullets in the gun. And they wonder why every time they get in a fight, the devil whoops them. It's simple. You can't fight him with physicality. You could look like The Rock. Those of you know who that is, that's a wrestler. You can look like him. You still can't whoop the devil. But you can be some little wimpy dude loaded up with the power of God in you and the word of God in you, and demons will run from you from left to right because they understand greater is he that is in him than he that is in the world. And if the devil comes to him and said, hey, why don't you do this? He's going to look at him and say, it is written. Come on, church. If God himself fought Satan with it is written, who do you think you are that you're going to fight him some other way? Like, I command you to leave. No, look at him and say, in the word of God, it said, if I resist you, you got to flee. And the word of God said, if I don't let you have my way, have your way in my life, you can't do anything with me. So get out of here, dude. According to the word of God, I'm going to bruise your head with my heel, and I'm going to get on you and tap dance because the word said I can do it. Y'all, I'm not keep that up now. Glory. Listen, we've got to come to that place where we understand the other side to us means changing what's going on right now. How many of you are sick and tired of being sick and tired? Huh? You're tired of getting up trying to figure out why everything's just going sour, and you're ready to see something different happen. The only way you're going to change that is to get in a boat and go to the other side. Hello? Ask yourself an honest question. What do you need to leave behind? Hello? Point one. I made it. What will I have to forsake if I'm going to make it to the other side? The disciples had just seen a great miracle. Have you ever been around when something happens and everybody just wants to talk about it? Come on, church. Young preachers especially have to be very careful when they have something happen because they get to thinking they did it. Come on. I remember I thought I was flying this plane one time. God let go of the controls. I crashed, landed a couple of times, realized, dude, grabbed the screw. I'm not no good at this. Glory. Hello? But I've seen young preachers, if you pat them on the back, their head swells. They just a pump right between them two shoulder blades. You be boom. And they literally get to thinking that they're the one doing it. They'll go, I need to pray for you. And let me tell you something. You know what causes that? You. Because you act like they're the only ones can pray for you and see something happen. That's why we got folks that's paying big money to run over to some sideshow that they call a church service. Get some preacher to pray for them when if they had faith, they could show up right here. Do what the Bible said, call on the elders of the church they know and get healed right here. You ain't got to go to Memphis and get a motel. You ain't got to run down to New Orleans, somewhere like that. All you got to do is come to the house of God with the same expectancy you went to that service with, and God can bless you right here. Come on, church. Amen. But we got people that make demigods out of these young preachers and out of these older preachers, and we act like they're the only ones that can get it done. The truth of the matter is, these signs shall follow all that believe. Well, how'd that come out of that sermon? Because these guys have just seen a great miracle. Thousands have been fed with a couple of fish and some biscuits. It's my story. I know you're going to say two loaves and a couple of fishes, but it was sardines and a biscuit. Oh, it's my story. Kid was toting them in his pocket, so it wasn't a big fish and it wasn't no big loaf. They're sitting there enjoying it, and all of a sudden Jesus said, get in the boat, let's go to the other side. Why? Because he said, I don't want you to get the big head over the steel. You didn't do it, I didn't do it, my Father in heaven blessed this, and that's why it worked. Come on, church. But let me ask you something. What do you have to leave behind? What do you have to get rid of in your life so you can go to the other side? Listen, how about this? How about sin issues? Maybe there's something in your life that you've been fighting long enough that you decided I'm not fighting it anymore. I want to go to the other side. And the way I'm going to do it is I'm going to put a big mark over the top of them and say this ain't happening no more. Hello? Come on, church. Say, what are you talking about? Well, if you can't quit drinking, maybe you just need to stay away from the drinks. And if you got friends that keep getting you to drink, then they don't need to be your friends anymore. There are some things in your life you got to let go of so you can get to God. When I got saved, I lost every friend I had. Number one, they didn't want to be around me because I kept telling them how I got saved and how they need to get saved, and they didn't want to hear it. But number two, I didn't need to be around them because all they done was kept saying, hey, you need some of this or you need some of that. And I'm going, no, I don't need that. What I need is to get on my knees and call on the name of the Lord, and God can transform me some more.
I told y'all didn't want me to get to number one.
Isn't it wonderful when you preach them sermons that don't get personal? You know, the men used to love it when we talked about the way women dressed, and then we started talking about the sins men had, and they got all upset. But there may be some issues in your life that you need to deal with, because you can't get closer to God till you get some stuff out of your life. How about your schedule? Maybe you need to leave your schedule. Some of you are so busy, you ain't got time for God. And if you're so busy, you ain't got time for God, then you need to change your schedule. You need to get so busy for God, you ain't got time for some of that other stuff you're getting into. Somebody say, well, I'm at work. Isn't it amazing? We got people who work 80 hours a week to try to support their family, and then the family falls apart because there ain't no spirituality to hold it together. All they got is money. Glory. And money's not the answer to your problems, because millionaires commit suicide because they're lonely and they're broken and their heart's messed up. But you let somebody be broke, busted, disgusted, but they know God, they got it going. Come on, church. Amen. One of my greatest spiritual advisors was a man never passed the church for more than 25, 30 folk. Come to camp meeting, and he'd just have to walk around and just wait on somebody to help him out to eat because he was just there. Hello? I asked him one time, I said, ever bother you? You never had a bigger church? He said, boy, I got enough sense to know I couldn't pastor more than 30 people. I wasn't smart enough to do that. He said, there's times I had to have my wife help me to handle them 30. He said, but you know what? I was always happy because wherever I was, I knew God wanted me to be there, and he gave me people, and folks was getting saved, and people's lives were being changed, and that was what I was about. Hello? But sometimes we got to make our schedule change. If you don't have time for God, then you need to look at your schedule and figure out what's wrong. Because I got news for you, honey. If you're so busy you ain't got time for God, there's something wrong with your schedule, and you need to make time for God. Oh, that's good stuff. I'm going on, y'all. I know y'all ain't amen as much as you was a while ago, because I've gotten right down there where you at. Notice this, a certain somebody, you have to just get rid of them. Jesus told the disciples, if you will leave everything you got and come after me, leave your father and mother, then you can be my disciple. Hello? I thank God that when I got saved, my family was so excited about me getting saved, they didn't care what church I was tied into. Just so happened we had a Pentecostal background from my grandparents, and my mom been raised Church of God. I had a brother in the Church of God at Buell, and another that had been playing with the Church of God at Buell that finally got in, but they wouldn't have cared. All they wanted was me to get a relationship with God that was worth hanging on to. And once I got in there, they were behind me. But I've seen people who they get saved, start living for God. Next thing you know, their family goes, you don't need to be hanging around them people. They're crazy. They're going, yum, 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 yum. They ought to be happy you in church somewhere trying to get a hold of God and get him moving in your life. But sometimes you got to say, wait a minute. I got to leave y'all. Y'all can't have influence on me anymore because you're trying to take me away from the very thing that's giving me joy and peace and power in my life. And I'm not, oh, come on, church. Some of you got to tell some of your friends, I can't hang around you anymore. You influenced me the wrong way. But I'll tell you what, when I get strong enough, I'm coming back and I'm going to start influencing you and see how you like it. Glory. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? You know, what would be like the man who lived on the street and he's sitting there one day, the homeless dude. And the guy pulls up with a limo and says, hey, come on, get in the limo, go with me. I'm going to make you vice president of my company. Wouldn't that be awesome? You say, preacher, that ain't never going to happen. Sure, it happened for me, and it happened for you. I was drug addict, alcoholic. God rolled up one day and said, hey, get in the boat. I'm going to make something out of you. And everything I am because God made something out of me. But you know why I got here? Because I left where I was and got in the boat and said, let's go. Wherever you're going, I'm going with you. I've been here long enough. It ain't working for me. I'm getting rid of everything I'm normal with. I'm getting rid of everything I know. I'm headed toward you. Come on, church. You don't think that was a change in my life? I didn't know how to live right. I didn't know what all I had to give up. All I knew was where I was wasn't worth it anymore, and I was ready to go somewhere else. But suppose that homeless man sneered at him, that ain't going to happen. Because let's face it, even though he was homeless, what he had was all he knew. I mean, if I get in that limo, I ain't got but a couple of shirts and a pair of pants. I got to give them up because he going to want me to wear new stuff. I ain't never had nothing like that. And I kind of like my box I live in. I wouldn't know what to do with an apartment. I'd probably have to clean the floor. Because you see, living on the street, there's no requirements. That's one reason people on the street like it. Nobody expects nothing out of them. They get up every morning with no expectations, nothing they got to do. You see, there's a lot of people don't want to live right because they're afraid of the expectations going to be laid on them because you got to do some changes. You can't just get up and let things happen. You got to make sure they happen the right way. Come on, church. Oh, come on, smile at me. Some of y'all look at me like, well, preacher, that's why some folks won't get a job because they don't want nobody to expect nothing out of them. They might work when they want to and do a little something, get some money, but they don't want a regular job because they don't have to be there at a certain time, clock in and out, follow people's rules, and do those kind of things. Well, let me tell you something. If you're going to live for God, there are some things you got to do. But it is not hard. It's not a prison like some people tell you. But God not only said live right, he gave me everything I need to live right. If I hide the word of God in my heart, it'll give me life and joy and peace like I never had before. If I walk in the spirit, it'll help me make decisions in the right direction. Everything I need is here, but I got to let the other go or I'll never make it to the other side. You know, the good thing about this is I got a clock I'm looking at, and I got 4 minutes. That's if I go to five after. Point two, what do I take with me? Now you say, wait a minute, I got to give up all that. What I get? They took Jesus, and notice the wording. They took him as he was. Most likely he was wore out from the day of teaching, praying, watching them give all that stuff out and blessing all those people. He was so tired they got in the boat before they ever got away from the land good. They were. Hello? You say, what are you getting at? You got to take Jesus for what he is. You can't design your own Jesus. Hello? What are you getting at? You got to take him for what the Bible says. He hates sin, not the sinner, but sin. You can't design one that says, well, you know, it's okay. Go ahead. There's all this grace going to cover it up. No matter what you do, you don't look.
look at me like some of y'all looking at me, because I know y'all carrying that Jesus with you, but he's not the real one. The real one doesn't like sin. That's why he was willing to die, to get rid of your sin. Hello? Because he don't like sin at all. God is so distasteful sin that he turned his back on his own son while he hung on the cross, and not one sin in his body was his. But he turned his back on his own son because of your sin and my sin and the sins of this world. The Bible said he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might then become the righteousness of God in him. And that's the God I serve, the one that hates sin. And therefore, I cannot let sin reign in my mortal body. Y'all hate number two more than you did the first one, don't you? Look. It gets better, because the God that hates sin also forgives unconditionally. Well, if he forgives me, I'll forgive him. Ain't you glad God doesn't work that way? I don't know about y'all, but I didn't even like me when God fell in love with me. There wasn't nobody in this world hated me more than I did. But God loved me just like I was. He didn't tell me I had to quit doing drugs or drinking to get saved. But when I got saved, I quit all the drugs and the drinking, because something in me changed and I didn't want it anymore. Come on, church. There were things in my life I'd done away with, but nobody told me I had to do away with them. I didn't want to do them anymore, because I was in love with a God that I knew didn't like what was in my life. And because he forgave me unconditionally, he didn't put condition down. Well, if you'll quit this, I'll be your brother. If you'll quit this, I'll love you. He loved me just like I was. And when I got down on my knees and asked him to forgive me, and his blood came into my life, everything I thought I had to give up, I didn't have a problem letting it go, because I didn't want it anymore. I didn't need it anymore, because I had a God that loved me just like I was, and therefore he loved me that way. And I had to learn as a Christian that I can't decide who'll get saved and who won't get saved, but I minister to everybody with the same desire to see how God loved them unconditionally. There's some people walking this church, some of y'all would have a fit. Oh, they're here. Isn't it wonderful? Come on, church. Thanks. See, some of you right now say, oh, God, he's fixing to bring people here we don't want. I wish I could. I wish I could make some of y'all get so mad you'd pray through. Oh. Preacher told me one time, do you keep inviting them poor folks? They'll show up. I thought that's what I'm supposed to be doing. Well, that drug addicts, alcoholics, they show up, my good people will leave. Interpretation. My tithe payers will leave, and I have to start trusting God again. I got news for you. If you're a tithe payer in this church, if somebody shows up that's a sinner that you don't like, and they get saved in this altar, and you leave because of it, good riddance. I'll be glad to help you pack and leave. Because I'm looking for souls, and I'm looking for people that are lost, and I really don't care whether you like it or not. It's time we woke up and realized people are dying and going to hell. It's our responsibility to reach them. Well, how are you going to live? Same way I did for 35 years when I didn't have a salary coming in every week. I paid the bills, put two kids through college, and I got the same God sitting over there going, follow me, son. It'll be all right. We're going to make it to the other side. You just keep doing what I said to do, and I'll keep putting the money where it's got to be. Come on, church. Dude stopped me one day and said, do you know who butters your bread? I said, yeah. He said, well, you better pay attention, because that butter might stop. I said, ain't no problem. He said, what are you talking about? I said, my God owns a cattle of a thousand hills. We make some more butter. I ain't worried about you. See, all y'all right now still listening to what I'm saying. You're trying to figure out who that was. That's the problem. Some of you got you more worried about everybody else's business instead of yours. Get back to your sermon. This is mine, because some of you need to leave your busybody spirit on the other side of the lake and get over there where you're not worried about everybody else's business but yours. Hey, go crank the car up. Bring it over here to the side door. I may have to make a quick getaway in a minute. Somebody said, preacher, you're crazy. No, I'm not. Some of y'all so busy on social media, you got more idea of what's going on in everybody else's life. And you said, oh, look. And the whole time your life's going down the tubes because you're so busy on social media, you can't keep up. Raise your hands and praise him today, church.
I am God.
Thank you, Jesus.
People beg.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Because my word says, few there be that's going to fight. And my word is always true. You don't have to live for me. You either live for me or the devil.
That's right.
You cannot serve two masters. Choose
I take with me. A God that excuses sin, that loves only people that are like me, who holds grudges and never forgets. A God that loves unconditionally, who forgives my sin and doesn't care where I came from. All he knows is where he wants to take me. A God that puts a love in my heart to make me aggressively look for people who need him. We've got to make up our mind at Alabaster that we want to be the church that's headed to the other side. Quit sitting on this side talking about when we're going to go over there. It's time we move across the lake and get on the other side and start looking for lost souls and telling people there's a God that really loves them and there's a life that can be different and your life can change. It's got to start right here, not somewhere else. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face, then will I hear in heaven. Then will I heal their land. What kind of impact are you going to have on people? That's all that's important in this world. It's not how much money you got in the bank, what kind of car you drive. It's what kind of an impression you make on the people you come in contact with every day. Now I'm going to close, but I want to share this with you. I thought it was important. John Giddings went to an island in the Pacific, a little country. Antium is the name of the place. He stayed there 24 years. When he showed up, there wasn't a Christian on the entire area. 24 years later, sick, older and dying, he went home to get what little years he had left and rest. But they erected a monument to him there. And they said when he showed up, there wasn't a Christian here, but when he left, there wasn't a heathen to be found. What kind of impact are you going to have on the people you come in contact with every day? Are you going to have an impact of change? Are you going to have the kind of impact where they look up and say, "Well, if that's a Christian, I don't want to be nothing like them." Stand with me. This is nowhere where I intended to go with this, but it's went there. A revival in this community will never start in this community until it starts right here. A revival in our families will never start anywhere until it starts right here. Until we make up our mind, I want to go to the other side of the lake. Whatever it takes, I want to get there. I'm ready to get in that boat because I'm not happy anymore with where I am. But I know God can take me where I want to be. And I'm ready. to let go of everything I got to let go of, no matter what it is, to find him. Find his presence. Oh, God, have your way. Father, move on us this morning with your love. Touch us with your fire. God, break some bondage in our lives. Break some pride in our heart that we'll look for you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.